Hachette Audio presents True Blue, written by David Baldacci, read by Ron McLarty. Jamie Meldon rubbed his eyes vigorously, but when he stared back at the computer screen, it was still no good. He glanced at his watch. Nearly 2 a.m. He was toast. At age 50, he couldn't pull these all-nighters consistently anymore. He slipped on his jacket and pushed back his thinning hair where it had drifted down to his forehead. He left the building and headed home. Even at 2 a.m., there was life in the nation's capital. But once he got off the highway and rode through the surface streets toward his neighborhood, it grew quiet, and he grew more drowsy. The blue grill lights flashing off his rearview mirror jolted him to alertness. They were in a straightaway not a half mile from his house, but one bordered on both sides by trees. He pulled off the road and waited. He saw the men coming toward the car. Not uniforms, but suits, dark ones that made their starched white shirts stand out under the three-quarter moon.
FBI, Mr. Meldon. I'm Special Agent Hope, my partner Special Agent Reiger.
Meldon stared at the ID card and then watched as the man flicked his hand and the familiar FBI shield appeared on the next slot in the leather holder.
I don't understand. What's this about, Agent Hope? Emails and phone calls, sir.
With whom?
We need you to come with us.
What? Where?
WFO.
The Washington Field Office? Why?
We were just told to make the pickup, Mr. Meldon. The assistant director is waiting to talk to you.
Can it wait until tomorrow? I'm a United States attorney.
You can call the AD if you want, sir, but our orders were to bring you in ASAP.
Meldon sighed.
That's all right. Can I follow you in my car? Yep, but my partner here has to ride with you.
Why?
Having a highly trained agent riding shotgun for you is never a bad thing, Mr. Meldon.
Fine. Meldon slipped his phone back in his pocket and unlocked the passenger door. Agent Reiger climbed in next to him while Hope walked back to his car. Meldon pulled in behind the other car and they started on their route back to D.C.
I wish you guys could have come to my office. I just came from town.
Reiger kept his gaze on the other car.
Can I ask why you're out this late, sir?
As I mentioned, I was at my office working.
Sunday night? This late?
They crossed over the Potomac and into D.C. proper, and a few minutes later, neared the WFO. The lead car hung a left down an alley. Meldon pulled in behind it.
Why this way?
They just opened a new underground garage for us to use with a hardened tunnel right into WFO. Quicker this way and under bureau eyes 24/7. These days, who the hell knows who's watching? Al-Qaeda to the next Timothy McVeigh.
Meldon looked at him nervously.
Got it.
Those were the last words Jamie Meldon would ever speak. The massive electric shock paralyzed him, even as a large foot stomped down on the car's brake. If Meldon had been able to look over, he would have seen that Reiger was wearing gloves, and those gloves were curled around a small black box with twin prongs sticking out. Reiger climbed out of the car as a twitching Meldon slumped over. The other car had stopped up ahead, and Hope ran back to the second car. Together, they lifted Meldon out and leaned him face first against a large dumpster. Hope pulled out his pistol with a suppressor on the muzzle. He stepped forward, placed the barrel against the back of Meldon's head, and fired one round, ending the man's life. Together, they heaved the body into the dumpster. Reiger climbed into the dead attorney's car. He followed his partner's ride out of the alley, turned left, and then headed north, while Meldon's corpse finished sinking into the garbage. Reiger pushed a speed dial button on his phone. It was answered after one ring. Reiger said,